Hello and welcome to NYPD Blue Balls. This is a commentary episode of Season 7, Episode 5, The Shoots Are Made for Joaquin. And what that means is that Kyle and I are recording the episode while watching Season 7, Episode 5 of NYPD Blue, The Shoots Are Made for Joaquin. So it might be better to be listened to while watching that episode, which you currently can on Hulu. It used to be available on Amazon. I'm not even going to tell you definitively if it is or isn't, because sometimes when I go there, it seems like some seasons are available on Amazon, and sometimes they're not, and I don't know what's going on. So you can go to Hulu to see NYPD Blue for sure. You can get the DVDs. I know that they're a lot easier to get in the United States than elsewhere. I apologize for that. And of course, you can probably find them on the internet, you know, on the hush-hush. Either way, thank you for listening. I hope you enjoy it. And if you get all the way to the end, I'll talk to you again. But in the meantime, enjoy NYPD Blue Balls, Season 7, Episode 5. These shoots are made for Joaquin. One, two, three. All right, welcome to NYPD Blue Balls. This is These Shoots Are Made for Joaquin. One of the best titles ever, I think. Because it's a great pun. Speaking of best, I think this is one of the worst openings. Just saying.
Oh, The Visit? I like to call it The Visit.
The Visit? It's just...
Yeah.
It's just kind of an exposition dump between characters. And nothing really is revealed except what we should already know if we've been watching the show.
Well, like, don't they... I mean...
Don't
yeah,
they?
I guess.
What? What was that?
Nothing. Got nothing.
You got nothing? But it's just Kirkendall being all stressed out because Don was arrested because he was trafficking drugs.
Dude, being a fucking idiot.
And she's like, oh, I just don't know what to do. And then Russell's like, yeah, Fancy told you to not worry about it anymore. And why aren't you just doing that?
Like in one of those cages, the wheel spinning around and around.
Like I said,
just stop.
We talked about it in an earlier episode for sure, but it really seems like the woman who is playing Jill Kirkendall really wanted that supporting actress Emmy.
Oh, for sure. She was trying hard to see it. I was about to say, like, maybe take a pause here with my comment, and then if you want to cut it out, I don't want to ruin anything.
Great. Okay.
But I feel like, for some reason, the NYPD Blue writers, when they know they're going to have either someone leave the show or someone wants to leave, they, like, either, like, start writing like a really bad fucking like storyline for them, or like they just like let them act shitty and don't fix it. Do you know what I'm saying? Like,
just let them be shitty, and so people won't miss them when they're gone. Is what you're saying?
Yeah. They're just like they're just let it go bad, and they're just like, well, she's leaving, so who cares? Anyways, okay, back to the.
Well, we're at the opening credits. This is NYPD Blue Balls, where I, Kirk, and the other voice, Kyle, talk about every single episode of the best show ever, NYPD Blue. And this is a commentary episode. Usually, I would hit the theme song and we'd start, but now we're watching the episode with you, possibly. And this one is Season 7, Episode 5, The Shoots Are Made for Joaquin, which is, of course, a play on These Boots Are Made for Walking, because they're...
And if you don't want to watch with us, then what the fuck are you doing here?
Maybe they did watch the episode, and now they're just...
That's fair. But if you haven't watched it...
They just want little tidbits.
What are you doing here?
They just want little tidbits. They want a little baby food. Like, where they saw this actor from, and random thoughts on other movies and other things while watching NYPD Blue. Looks like it goes right
Botchko,
in.
Botchko, huh?
Huh? What was that?
So who do you take in the Botchko Milch? Oh, Twin Towers right in your face. Who would you take in the Bosco Milch Civil War?
Probably Milch.
Yeah, for sure.
No offense to Bosco. I think Bochco is the reason that there might be a revival of this, which I don't know if it's a good idea.
Anyways.
So this is a famous face, Mr. David Zayas, mostly known for Angel Batista on Dexter, and, little spoiler alert, and Dexter New Blood.
Spoilers. New Blood. How? I thought he... Oh, no, he didn't die.
He didn't die in the original Dexter. He was also in...
He didn't die, his career did.
He was also in Skyline and the Expendables.
Again. Oh, he was in the Expendables. Good for him. Doing what? Defending someone?
I think he was the bad guy in the first Expendables.
Really?
I think. I don't remember, to be honest.
This guy.
Well, he's playing a character that threw shots at a guy who came in and shot his brother and ran off. I believe he is the titular Joaquin.
Yes, I believe that's right.
And he shot at a dude leaving the scene of the crime, and the guy dropped his shotgun. I think Sipowicz gives shit to the uniform officer.
He shot his brother, if I'm not mistaken, right?
The gunman shot his brother and tried to run away.
Yeah.
And here we have Medavoy.
Yeah, Medavoy just... He's talking about going out with that
young, hot, EMT.
EMS girl.
And then finding out while on the date that he is the same as the old guy that brings young women to the buffet. When he's telling the story, it made me realize just how wrinkled and catcher's mitty his face is.
Yeah, dude, he's, like, semi-young here.
Yeah, he's younger than he appears. And he's saying... I love it because he's like, wow, I look like a creep when I went out with this woman. And then Martinez is like, I'm going to be promoted.
Yeah. And he's just like, what?
It's also... mentioned, like, Medavoy's like, it's a life-changing thing. Like, you get a bunch of money and you don't have to worry about being shot at, but, like, we're not going to be friends anymore.
Yeah, that's the best part, is he keeps just, like, whining about not being friends with him anymore.
It is pretty hilarious, like, the idea of getting a great promotion that your wife is going to be stoked about because there's less danger and more money and a more stable schedule. And the idea of going back to your wife and be like, yeah, but like my partner's not going to be happy about it.
Yeah. You know, like I was thinking about it and like, yeah, it's better for our baby and it's better for us. But like Greg's not happy. And yeah, I just can't do that to him.
Like, we've been partners for a long time, and sure, I could use more money and knowing that I'll be home at a certain time every day, but also, like, Greg's sad. You know, and when he's sad, you know, it's just, it's sad.
It's hard on all of us when he's sad.
Here's just another exposition run for Fancy. Just running that guy shot the dude like point blank with a shotgun. Wife came out to see, the dude ran away. Brother across the street throwing shots at him. A lot of fun, because I mean that's the great thing about NYPD Blue. A lot of like character to the dialogue, and right here, Sipowicz is like, why do you always say, let me know when things change? Like, don't we always? And he's like, fine, just get out of my office then.
Yeah, that's when I really enjoy like their like banter, fancy and syphilis.
Then I really felt like this scene
this
was
great.
Completely useless, but so funny.
I don't think it's useless. I think it gives something to the story, and I think this character is awesome.
Well, this character, Preston Ross, he's played by Barry Gordon. And a fun thing about Barry Gordon, I don't know if we ever mentioned it before, he's in a total of three episodes of NYPD Blue. He's been on previous episodes.
Oh, wow.
He is also, and this blew my mind, he is also the voice of, let me get exactly which one, because it blew my mind. Barry Gordon is the original voice of Donatello in the original Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles cartoon.
Oh, wow.
And he did that voice up until this year, where he is playing Donatello and Bebop of the team Bebop and Rocksteady in the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Shredder's Revenge video game. So this dude's a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle through and through.
It's just killing it.
But he's doing a great job as this guy who's like a fingerprint analysis guy who's just so stoked about his job.
Well, yeah, because for the first time, his fingerprint analysis like makes him feel like a real cop instead of just like a nerdy office guy, you know?
And the episodes he was
let's celebrate a little bit, bro. Jesus.
The episodes of NYPD Blue he was in Twin Peaks, where he played Dr. Berger. I believe the doctor that believed the twin was making up a twin brother. And he was Philip Fox Esquire in Simone Says. I believe Detective Simone's first episode.
Don't remember him in that one. I vaguely remember him in the twin one, but yeah.
But yeah, he played this fingerprint analysis guy, a doctor or a psychologist or a psychiatrist, and a lawyer.
Whoa.
So this nice. Guy.
Kind of anti-test.
Do you like helping out sick kids? Do you like watching mutants get killed in an underwater dystopia? Well, if you said yes to both of those questions, you should head over to twitch.tv/KirkHasGlasses on November 5th, 2022, to watch a 24-hour live stream of Bioshock 2 and Bioshock Minerva's Den to raise money through Extra Life, which is an organization that helps out Children's Miracle Network, which provides much-needed funds to children's hospitals all over the country. So if you have nothing to do all day, November 5th, 2022, head over to twitch.tv/KirkHasGlasses. I'll be there 24 straight hours raising money for sick kids. And hey, man, if you don't like sick kids and you know, that's fine, but that's on you. The widow.
Question. Is this widow overacting?
Oh, yeah. 100%. I think so.
Right.
It's,
right?
Yeah. I didn't really like her performance, to be honest. Played by Bertilla? Or maybe it's Bertia.
Bertilla.
Dumas.
Dumas?
I had never recognized her in anything, but supposedly she is on the show Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Oh, she is?
Yeah.
I've watched Brooklyn Nine-Nine, a lot of it. I couldn't tell you who she is.
According to the thing, she's been on at least a couple episodes, because it looks like it's been a couple of seasons that she was a part of.
I know she plays somebody's mom, and I just don't recognize her. I think Rose's mom or something. Anyways, doesn't matter. I'm trying to answer questions to myself.
Here we see that David Zayas, the Joaquin in the story, he is trying to like shadow her completely. And they're trying to kind of separate him, but it's not working out.
He's being a fucking weirdo.
And he's like, I want to support my sister-in-law. I want to support my sister-in-law. It's like, cool, how about you just fucking leave for a second?
Yeah, he wants to support her, all right.
And then they start showing her photos based on what the fingerprint analysis guy found. And then she freaks out because one of the guys is like a vagrant that she knows of from the neighborhood. And so she turns into a real Karen about it.
Yeah, she's just, you know, doesn't want to, like, die.
What?
She just doesn't want to die. That's all. She feels weird. Like, her man was just killed in front of her. She doesn't know why. She's just afraid someone's coming after her. All she wants is some security. But yeah, I get you, Kirk.
You know what? I think you're wrong. I think she's acting like a real bitch. But no, she's like, what are you people doing with my tax dollars? It's like, okay, so you can confirm that it wasn't this guy, but it's a guy that's around your area. Almost like we got it on a tip. Maybe what you should do, and I don't know, this is just speaking for me, is calm the fuck down for a second. Because we didn't say, hey, did this guy definitely do it? We say, did you notice this guy? And you did. Good job. You answered the question. Now, maybe we have others.
Hey, calm the fuck down. Also, okay?
Also, tell your fucking brother-in-law to chill out.
Hey, bitch. Calm the fuck down.
That's how I respond to women in peril. Hey, calm the fuck down. Also, this dude gets real close to people. Barry Gordon's, I forgot his character's name. But he gets...
Barry Gordy?
Barry Gordon is the actor's name.
No, I know. I'm joking around.
Preston Ross. But
Preston Ross.
I do like...
Preston Ross coming in like a boss.
I do enjoy the dialogue... Because he said, I'm Preston Ross with Leighton Prince. And John thought he was a crazy person, thinking that he meant he was an actual prince of, like, a of a kingdom or something. And then when he says, like, no, I work in Leighton Prince with the NYPD. And Sorensen kind of look at him like, he's not crazy, he's just weird.
I think... I can't say it on the thing.
And here is Kirkendall overthinking her husband. And Russell's just like looking at her like, come on.
Your deep frustration for them is amazing.
Well, it's also like, it's just a series of stupid decisions.
Wasn't that life?
Yeah, true. Also, this scene kind of boggled my mind. And, you know, I don't know if you picked up on it, but Medavoy was, like, contacting someone, like, a contact he has at a credit company to get information on possible fraud. So, isn't that an abuse of power of the police... like the police office for possible financial, not financial gain, but financial like help.
Well, being as I have, you know, spent a long time in law school. yeah, Kirk, I have no fucking idea, dude.
But other than that, the legality of that, this is a scene where. It's just awkward as hell because they were talking about something secret. He comes in and he's like, hey, is my credit card thing coming through? And they're like, no, it isn't. We're waiting for something else. And he's like, James got promoted. And they're like, oh, good for him. And he's like, I'm going to be alone. And it makes me sad. And they're like, we don't care, Greg. We don't care. We got shit to deal with.
Yeah, like, Greg sucks.
You say this every time we like focus on Greg Medavoy.
I know, but I feel like they make Greg suck for a reason, like to just show people. I don't know.
Well, he does a good job as who he is.
Yeah, because he plays another character. I think I've talked about this ad nauseum on Deadwood, and he's fucking annoying too.
He's just good at being annoying.
I like this. Vagrant that they get. I think he's a fun character.
You're talking about Terrell Biggs, who.
I will say this: there's a lot of I've seen a lot of Terrells in New York City. And I don't mean that like to be funny, but yeah.
I thought he did a very good job acting as this character. And he was played by John Tolles Bay. And he was in Dude, Where's My Car?, Waterworld, K-Pax, and other episodes of NYPD Blue.
K-Pax.
Yep. He was in K-Pax.
Wow. That's a movie I haven't heard of in a while.
And when it said Waterworld, I was like, Waterworld stunt show or Waterworld the movie? Because one of those is somehow more respectable than the other.
Yeah. And I still don't believe that he was in any of those, because I don't remember seeing a lot of people of color in Waterworld.
There were people there, I think. I mean, I've only seen it once, and I don't want to rewatch. But he does a good job going over that there was a firefight, and he just picked up the gun and then set it back down.
No, he is. He's a great character. I enjoy it a lot.
I'm trying to remember, and I don't think I wrote it down, the other episode of NYPD Blue he was in. I think it's a future one, now that I say it. Dead
air. Here's Greg making James's promotion all about him.
Oh, no. He was in an earlier episode as Bernard Jenkins. He was in For Whom the Scale Rolls. He's pointing out the guy that did the shooting, and Sipowicz throws gum at him. And I don't know, I feel like if the breath is bad enough, the gum doesn't do anything.
Yeah.
Like, it barely even masks the problem.
That's for sure. Yeah, especially if it's coming from that guy.
You could just tell he probably hasn't been brushing the dentist recommended amount. And here we have, I really, really liked this scene for probably the dumbest reason.
Okay.
So it's basically Medavoy trying to reach out saying, Martinez is getting this great opportunity, but he is definitely going to leave, and he's going to leave me here, and I'm sad about it. But he can't just say it. He has to dance around it. And so John...
Yeah, dudes can't.
Huh? What's up?
Dudes can't have emotions.
Yeah.
Dudes can't have emotions.
So then John just goes, so you'll miss him. And he's like, well, yeah, I mean... Well, missing him, like, I can't miss another dude. But, yeah, sure, I'd miss him, sure. And John is like...
Can't miss another dude?
And John, you can see it on John's face, where he's just like... I'm sorry, I get it. And then he makes a comment like, thanks for having my back. And he's like, just as a meaning of phrase, like, what did you think he would take that as? What, like, oh, yeah, I'm going to...
Ramming him in the butt, Kurt. That's what he's afraid of.
Hey, John, don't think for a second that I want to be gay with you, okay? Because we shared a moment of sensitivity and...
That's so funny. Here's what's crazy is he tries to be sensitive and he attacks John for his sensitivity, even though John doesn't do anything but listen.
Yep. Here we have Larry Watson. I didn't really like this actor as much as Terrell Biggs. I think Terrell Biggs came in and kind of like hit it out of the park in terms of acting. And then this guy's just like, yeah, whatever. I'm a bad guy who shoots.
It's not fair to this guy, but his smile makes me hate his character.
He does have a shit-eating grin, you're right.
Mm-hmm.
He has a grin that's like, you can't get me.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know what's going on. And you're like, fuck you, dude.
Mm-hmm.
It turns out they have him dead to rights for this murder. And they give a little bit of a ladder or like a lifeline, so to speak, saying, well, you can get ahead of this thing. He's like, get ahead like how? And he's like, well, I can give you the guy who hired me to do it.
I love when they talk all this shit and then they're like, what's the wiggle room?
What can I do to get out of this?
Yeah.
And it's, what he's going to give up is that the dude fucking who shot at him was the dude who hired him, which is the brother. Joaquin.
I hate that he says, says the line, I'm doing a lot of wiggling now. All right, let's talk about it. Foreshadowing. Fuck this Denby guy.
Denby is the worst. Denby is a piece of shit. He is the worst character. God, I hate him. I hate him more than you hate Metal Boy.
His character epitomizes the downfall of NYPD Blue.
You think it starts here? In season 7?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Knowing we got till season 12, you think Denby is the point of where it all falls apart?
Because think about it, right? In other seasons, well, I can't talk about it too much because I don't want to give too much away. But we're basically setting him up to be the, like, the guy for this season that's, like, the special, like, character, right?
The featuring.
It's like he's the featured, him and Don, it seems like, even though Don's not going to be in it a lot,
mm-hmm.
but they're setting him up for him to be, like, this main person in the show.
Yeah.
And what they write, how he acts, it's just kind of all is really bad.
Yeah, it really doesn't make sense, like, from beginning to end. Because I've seen a couple episodes before. I mean, not before. I've seen a couple episodes that are going to come after this in this storyline. Mm-hmm. It nothing really tracks for this dude. Like,
yeah.
He comes in, this episode specifically, not to get too ahead of the storyline, but he comes in this episode, and he's like, hey, so we got to talk about your partner. And she's like, what? Why do we have to talk about my partner? Like, well, let's just say that maybe I'm working on Don's case. And she's like, okay, in what capacity? He's like, well, let's just say maybe he thinks she was in on it. And she's like, well, I think you'd have to talk to her about that. He's like, well, I'm talking to you. It's like a lot of, like, just fucking get it out, Denby. Just say what you want to fucking say. And then when he finally does, he's like, I think what he's saying is bullcrap. Let her know that she can give me anything, and I'll make sure she comes out okay, because he's saying she was involved. And she's like, well, I don't know if I can trust this dude. He's kind of a slimy piece of shit so far. And then he just, like, bounces, like, yeah, go talk to her. And it kind of makes me wonder what this guy even does.
We'll talk more about it as he goes on. I don't want to give it too much away.
Yeah, he's a slimy asshole from moment one. So here we have, Rosie, who's gonna pick out the dude who murdered her husband, and she's obviously, you know, emotional and a little freaked out about it, as anyone would be. I've realized I have to be a little more, kind to this fictional character, with Kyle in the room. And then she does, I don't know if it's a good idea to scream in the observation room like that, but that's just me. I don't know if it's a good idea.
Yeah, why is there a screen of this two-way glass?
Oh, it's so that they don't have, like, they aren't influenced by who they see in the room before then, I guess. Just kind of like a...
Okay.
I think. I don't know.
Have them face the other way until everyone's in place. Or don't bring them into the room until they're ready.
You know what you do? You have the victim face away, and then you go, go! And then they gotta spin around real fast.
And you only get 3 seconds.
And then they guilted David Zayas here.
Well, they played him. They did a great job.
And saying, like, they better give cooperation ahead of time. And he's like, fine, I'll give cooperation. He basically wanted to bang his brother's wife.
Yeah, that's weird, right?
Yeah, I don't think I would ever do that to you.
Okay, the fact that we're even talking about it is weird.
But it is also funny, like, what did he think she would... I don't know. Like, I don't know the thought process of, like, I'll kill him, and then eventually I'll be right in there.
Like, well, what? I bet you, what I think he was... Well, I don't... Well, he's obviously not trying to get caught.
Well, yeah. But
if this man comes in and kills his brother, and then he's able to either kill this man he hired or get away with it, then maybe, you know, after she's done grieving, she may be like, oh, man, like, you know, he protected me. He tried to take care of me. And then there's like that. What do they call it in Back to the Future? When
Florence Nightingale effect?
Yeah, maybe there's that effect. Maybe it's like, oh, shit, like, he saved my life. He helps you, blah, blah, blah. I don't know.
Well, I think it was a little bit of two factors. One, he would like to bang his brother's wife. Two, he really didn't like his brother at all because he said his brother was a prick.
So, yeah.
I think it was a little bit of both of that.
But the last thing he does say is, like, if she could love him, I could, like, why couldn't I get her to love me?
And, well, you know. Because no offense, you're David Zayas.
Yeah, and I don't, your brother wasn't trying to shoot you.
So, this scene was a little bit of a left curve, if that's even a phrase.
It's either, I think, a left turn or a curve.
Well,
I don't think
you
it's
know,
a left curve, but...
I smashed them together. Because...
I mean, let's make it your own.
Russell is like, yeah, Denby wants to know if there is anything that you said you could, that you may have done, because he'll protect you just to get Don off of it. And then she's like, okay, well, I did. And this is the first I think we're hearing about it. And what? It's going from she had no idea to I may have helped him.
Well, doesn't she say, like, I helped him, like, beat a tail?
I may have helped him beat a tail or helped him deliver things that I didn't know what they were. And it's like, that is 2 steps, maybe 3 steps, away from not having any idea what he's doing. Which is what we've thought up until now. Like, it is a very different story now.
Yeah.
And Russell's response is like, I'll go hang out with Denby some more and see what he's after. Which is like, what? At this point, you realize that your partner is a liar. And then,
How can you really help her?
What? And especially now that you know she hasn't been telling you the truth this whole time.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't get it. Here we have Martinez letting Fancy know that he's going to get a promotion. Fancy.
I know, this is how two men should be emotional to each other.
You think this is a picture perfect example of men being honest and I keep forgetting the word. not emotional, vulnerable with each other.
It's better than what Metal Boy did.
Oh, yeah, 100%. Metal Boy, yeah, for sure. I do think
least,
that...
Like, but the other thing I think is like, it's sad, but it's just, it's like, it just, like, the only reason they're comfortable is because he's not, none, neither of them are gay. Like, I'm trying to get my words out because a lot of things are happening. Like, fucking Russell just talked to Denby on the phone, and then Mary just showed up to fucking Danny's work, and he about shit himself.
I think you're a little bit ahead of me, but yeah, I know that's about to happen where...
Oh, my bad.
That's fine. Yeah, Mary shows up, and he about shits bricks and tries to think that no... The fact that he thought he covered well enough for this is laughable. That he's a detective, and he's like, yeah, that was good enough. Like, what are you
Nailed
talking
it.
About?
It's like, you remember that commercial? It was like, I forget what it was for, but like, the guy didn't know how to like read the room, and didn't know how to like keep things, like keep personal things quiet. And he walks into a meeting, and he's like, "Hey, I'm sorry, I'm late. I was at a job interview." Nailed it. He walks into a meeting for like his best job at the moment. Like, it's so funny. That's what like Danny did after she left. He's like, "I think that was good. I think I got it."
It's also funny because, like, no offense to her, she kind of looks like she might be on heroin. Like, her eyes are
Ooh,
so...
Which one? Kirkendall?
What's up?
Kirkendall looks like she could be on heroin.
Oh, yeah. But I'm talking about Mary. Like, the way her eyes are so, like... almost sunken in. And she's so, like, emotionless. Yeah. And she comes in and she's like, "I played it off better than you, dude. You, like, jumped out of your fucking seat."
Yeah.
And he immediately...
And she has shown us, and she has just shown us that, like, literally, the writers have shown us that she's just nothing but an emotional wreck. So, she handled that way better than he did.
And it's also funny that, like, I think Sorensen has the balls to be like, "Oh, is it a date?" And it's like... "Didn't you just shit your pants when another woman came in here? Like, are we together, bro? Like, what?"
And then here comes something really weird.
This scene... Because you said that Denby is, like... is the horn sounding that NYPD Blue is going down.
Yeah.
I feel like this scene might prove you right. Because it's like, it's a whole lot of dialogue to do what, exactly?
Yes.
To
establish that he's a weirdo, to establish... I mean, the more you were talking earlier about him and all this, I was thinking like, oh, maybe this is like supposed to be his character. Like, maybe he's supposed to be erratic and he just gives you a bunch of nothing burgers because, like, he's literally, like... Spoiler alert, he's spiraling, right? But, like... I don't know. I don't think it's that detailed, this character. I feel like they were like trying to be edgy, and it's just...
I
don't know.
It kind of feels like when they had Christopher Maloney, and...
Yeah.
It feels like they're like...
He was giving out date rape drugs?
Yeah, like, it felt like they were like, man, we really
Remember
hit...
those times?
Like, we hit something with Christopher Maloney's character in Russell... Let's do it again, but let's make him a cop, right? And let's make the thing that he is not upfront with information about Kirkendall's case to Russell, and he tries to force her to drink, and it seems like at the end of every conversation, he really could have just said the first thing, or he could have just said that first thing, and we wouldn't have wasted 5 minutes.
Yeah. So, the more you talk about it, maybe in first he's just, like, info, and then it's like, maybe it's just, like, he starts to like Kirkendall, you know? I don't know.
But it does seem like he's also a problem drinker
for sure.
What do you mean problem? What does problem think I mean?
Where he drinks to excess and then makes it everybody's problem around him. Like,
gotcha.
He's an alcoholic, but he's not the type of alcoholic that's like, oh, woe is me, my life, this, that. He's the type of alcoholic that's like, no, 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 I'm going to get drunk. You're going to get drunk. We're going to get blackout. We're going to do things we regret. Like, it's a different kind of alcoholic where he's also like, you're going to kiss me. I'm going to withhold information. I'm going to make you drink. Like, he's just a dick.
Like, yeah, I didn't understand, and I'm glad you kind of explained it. I don't understand the forcing her to drink with him.
Yeah.
Do you get me?
Yeah, like, I don't really get it either.
I have my issues with smoking and stuff, but I don't feel like I would be like, you have to sit here and do it with me, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
It's weird. Maybe that's also part of it. The choice they should make for him, but it's just really interesting to me.
Well, they're trying to make it seem, and I kind of understand their thought process, they're trying to make it seem like it's a struggle for Russell to get the information with this dude who wants her to drink, but we know from past experience she can't drink. Because if she starts drinking, then it's a problem, right?
Yeah.
So the whole struggle is like, is he going to make her drink just to get this information for Jill? Even though we find out at the end, he doesn't have any good information, really.
Yeah, he's just kind of played it.
He's just being a douche.
Yeah, and the wanting a kiss thing is really weird to me, because, like, you didn't know her until now, you know what I mean?
Yeah, he's so just like, a sleazy dude.
That whole thing is really, really weird to me.
It's also, like, because when we were growing up, we had the just say no campaigns and don't do drugs and all that shit. And it was always, like, this idea that people are going to pressure you to do this shit. They were talking about this guy. Like, but I don't think I've ever experienced this guy when drinking or drugs were around. That were like, no, going to do it. You're gonna do it.
It's like, okay, so it's not like I've been around a ton of different drugs in my life, right? Yeah. Like, I'm not saying, like, and I am, like, I've never been pressured by anyone to do any type of drug. I've been asked, like, hey, do you want to try this? Do you want this? And I've said no, moved on, right?
Yeah.
I have been more pressured by people to drink alcohol.
Yeah.
Than to do any type of drug.
I get you there.
It's weird. I feel like it's weirder to tell people, no, you don't want to drink, than telling people, like, no, I don't want to do heroin. Thanks.
No thanks. No thanks, like, on that heroin.
A heroin user is more like, okay, cool, no problem. Like, just wanted to be polite and ask. And, but, like, if you're at a bar and someone's like, hey, let me get you a beer, you're like, no, I'm good. It's like, what? Why? Like, why aren't you drinking? That's weird. Let's go to the next episode. You want to go to Brother Under Arms? Let's do it. I'm starting.
Wait, what?
My next episode just started. We're rolling right along.
What? How? We started at the same time. I don't understand.
I don't know.
But, I mean, the episode ended. It really just ends with Denby going like, don't give me anything. They're going to go after Don no matter what. Who cares?
Yeah, like, he says, like, the prosecutor's boss is, like, anti-wuss or something.
Yeah.
So they're going to go after him. It's like, well, so you committed, like, sexual assault for nothing?
Yeah, it really does feel like at the end he's just like, oh, I was just being an asshole.
Yeah.
I was hoping to get some kisses and maybe a drunk woman back at my place.
And chalk it up to just dudes being dudes.
Dudes being dudes. Anything else you want to say about this episode before we wrap it up?
No, there's not much to say. Like, I really like this TV show, and I know it doesn't seem like it sometimes, but, like, this is really the beginning of, like, the downfall in quality of the show. Like, it's it's not the same after this. There's still some good things about it. I enjoy it. But, like, Denby is this whole Denby storyline, Dawn storyline, it's not good.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, I hate to say it, but, like, it's not great.
Well, it does, I mean, because you mentioned, like, it seems like a lot of interesting ideas are thrown around when characters are leaving. And, I mean, spoiler alert, like, I didn't even realize until I saw the description of this episode, because they're saying Martino's got a promotion, and usually that means he's not going to be in this place anymore. People are going to start leaving. And people left in earlier seasons, sure, but it does feel like a lot of people just kind of start leaving rapidly.
Yeah.
So it's kind of hard, I would imagine, if you're a writer's room, to kind of keep everything going with people leaving and new people coming in and kind of like a revolving door situation. Anyway.
Oh, and it's probably got to be mad difficult to write an hour TV show for 6 years for like 20 weeks. They keep coming up and keep coming up with new ideas and keep coming up with fresh ideas. Like, it's easy for us to sit here and talk a lot of shit about it, but like, it's got to be mad hard to like constantly do it. And I think that's why like British TV shows have it, the best idea about it, where they're like, no, we're, like, let's have an ending. Like, let's have, like, a goal in mind, and so we're not constantly just making, like, up ideas, and we're trying to, like, it's not sitcom, it's, like, the same tropes over and over, but we're actually, like, just, we're creating something, creating, like, a great TV show, and then we're done. Like, there's an ending for it. I don't know.
Alrighty, well, that was, These Boots Are Made for Joaquin.
These shoots.
These shoots. I messed up the pun. I'm sorry.
Fucking idiot.
All right. Later, everybody. Thank you once again for listening to NYPD Blue Balls. If you have a moment, please rate and review the show on whatever platform you're using to listen to it. It helps people see the podcast and hopefully gets them to start watching the best show ever, NYPD Blue. If you have just a need for more NYPD Blue in your life, there's a couple of books out there. True Blue, written about the first couple seasons. There is What Would Sipowicz Do?, a collection of articles about the show. And then there's Gene Kendall's An Unofficial Guide to NYPD Blue on Amazon for 99 cents. We're on Twitter and Instagram, kind of. We're on Instagram at Asher Brothers Podcast. We're on Twitter at Asher Bros Pod. Mostly just mentioning when new episodes of NYPD Blue Balls is out, and sometimes the very rare episode of Asher Brothers Podcast. If you enjoy the sound of my voice, you can head over to twitch.tv/KirkHasGlasses, where I'm streaming Monday evenings, Wednesday evenings, and Sunday mornings. And this Saturday, November 5th, I'm doing a 24-hour stream to raise money for sick kids. Other than that, have a good one. Peace.